September 5, 1938. The human will, cross of the divine. The divine, cross of the human. How in the divine will things change, dissimilarities disappear. How Jesus compensates for anything that may be lacking to one who lives in his will. I feel the life of the divine fiat inside my soul wanting to be my motion, my breath and heartbeat. It wants such a union with the human will that it can be opposed in nothing, otherwise it starts complaining, disappointed, and feeling as if crucified by the human will. Then my beloved one, repeating his short little visit, told me, "My blessed daughter, how much my will suffers in the creature. It is sufficient to tell you that every time she does her will, she crucifies mine. Therefore, the cross of my will is the human will. But not with three nails, as I was crucified on the cross, rather, with a nail for each time that she opposes my will. How many times my will is not recognized? And, while it wants to do good, it is rejected with the nails of ingratitude. How excruciating is this crucifixion of my will in the creature. How many times it feels as if being nailed by her breath, heartbeat and motion because, not being known as the life of that breath, heartbeat and motion, the human breath, heartbeat and motion become nails for it, preventing it from doing, in them, the good that it wants. Oh! How my will feels crucified within the human will. With its divine motion, it wants to make the day arise inside the human motion, while the creature crucifies the divine motion, causing the night to come, putting light on the cross too. How sorrowed my light feels in being repressed, crucified, put in a state of incapacity by the human will. And this, to give it the life of its sanctity and strength, while the creature, by not accepting it, sticks into it the nail of sin of her passions and weaknesses. Poor will of mine! In what a state of pain and continuous crucifixion it finds itself in the human will, that just keeps putting our love on the cross, filling with nails all the goods we want to give her. On the other hand, one who lives in my will, does not crucify my will. Rather, I can say that I become her cross, but this cross is very different. With my cross, my will knows how to put nails of light, sanctity and love to strengthen her with our own divine strength. These nails don't give sufferings, rather, they make her happy and beautiful with an enchanting beauty. They are the bearers of great conquests, and one who experiences them feels so happy that he prays to us and begs us to keep him always on the cross with our divine nails. From there, nobody can escape. If the two wills, the human and the divine, are not united, one will form the cross of the other. Further, our love and jealousy are such that we don't leave her free, not even a breath, without our nail of light and love to have her always with us and to say, "She does what we do and wants what we want." You must know that as the creature enters our will, everything is transformed, darkness is turned into light, weakness into fortitude, poverty into riches, passions into virtue. Her mutation is such that she is not the same as before. Her state is no longer one of a most wicked slave, but of a noble queen. Our divine being loves her so much that it runs into her acts to do whatever she does, and since our motion is continuous, we move and love her, move and hug her. Our motion moves and kisses her, making her more beautiful and more the saint. In every motion we give from ourselves and, in the emphasis of our love, we tell her about our Supreme Being, making known who we are and how much we love her. We identify ourselves in her and she in us. Our will and her will are one to the extent that we feel her in our divine motion, and as she takes what is ours, she loves us with our love. She gives us our inaccessible light to glorify our sanctity, to praise us and say, "Holy, holy, thrice holy are you. You enclose all. You are all." How beautiful it is to see the human smallness inside of our will, having in its power our divine being, to give it back to us, to love us and glorify us as we want and justly deserve. In our will the parts become equal. Dissimilarities disappear. Our unity unites everything and everyone, making one the acts of all, to become the act of all. In hearing this, I could understand the sanctity, the beauty and the greatness of living in the divine will, and I was thinking to myself, it seems to me difficult to live in it. How can the creature reach this point? The human weaknesses, the circumstances of life, many times, are too painful. The unexpected encounters, the so many difficulties that one doesn't even know what to do, wouldn't all these things lead the creature astray from a life so holy that it would take a perfect attention not to? And my sweet Jesus, continuing his say with such a tenderness that I felt my heart exploding, added, my little daughter of my will, my interest and my continuous yearning for the creature to live in my will is such that, once we've made the agreement, myself and her, with a firm decision that she must live in my fiat, this being my will, I am the first one who makes the sacrifice to obtain the intent, so that she may live in it. I place myself at her disposal. I give her all the graces, light, love and the very knowledge of my will, so that she herself has to feel the need to live in it. When I want something, and she promptly accepts doing what I want, I take care of everything. And when she fails for weakness, for inconstancy or for negligence, not for will, I come to compensate, and I do what she was supposed to do, transferring to her what I did as if she had done it. My daughter, living in my will is life, not virtue that I must form. And life needs me, and continuous acts, otherwise it would not be life. At the most it could be a work, that doesn't need either continuous acts or life. Therefore, I do not break the life because of involuntary indisposition or weakness, but I continue it. And it may be that in those same indispositions there is even my will, allowing those weaknesses. In which case the will of the creature would be running into mine anyway. And then, among everything, I look at the agreement done together, the firm decision taken against which there has been no other decision. Looking at this, I keep compensating her in anything that is missing. Even more, I redouble the graces. I surround her with new love, with new stratagems of love to make her more attentive, and I provoke in her heart an extreme need to live in my will, and I pray her to hold it so tight as to always be able to live together with it.